This program is brought to you by Resonance 104.4 FM. If you like what you hear and want to support our work, please make a donation at fundraiser.resonance.fm.
Optical Sound Show.
Or should I really say the new Optical Sound Show? Yes, we've kind of come out of hibernation after a long sort of sleep and went back into the archives and pick a few favorite film tracks out. Yes, we're showing films on the radio. What could be more normal for the Kino Club? And, excuse me, yes, I have put a, what's together an optical medley, as it's known in the trade. We are showing some light industrial films tonight as a medley. And you may have just heard the guffaw of William English, Sir William English in the background, who unfortunately got tangled up in our take-up reel here as a film spooled onto the floor. So he's actually bound to the chair in celluloid at the moment. I'm going to try and splice him out of that in a little while. But there he is, yes. And I started out putting together this medley. And then I remembered I also had a box of quarter-inch recording tape that was given to me by one Derek Taylor, who sadly passed away last week. But this show, I'm sort of dedicating the latter part of the show to Derek. And it was a suitcase of quarter-inch tapes with lots of Foley and sound effects that he not necessarily recorded, but he had used in productions that he re-recorded. He was a sound transfer man, worked on a lot of independent films, a lot of mainstream films. So we rescued this. He was going to take it to the dump, but we decided to rescue the suitcase of films, or rather of tapes. And then make use of them. And we'll be listening to some of that in a piece later on, and a couple of pieces by Lucy Harris as well, as included in this program of those tapes. But William, would you like to... let me just pull this film away from your... Is that better? Can you talk to him, William?
Okay. Yeah. Good afternoon. You're listening to Wavelength on Resonance 104.4 FM. And I have been hijacked, basically, by David Lester.
Hijacked, yes.
David Lester is an established filmmaker who has been an active member of the film community in London since 1983 and regularly assists other artists with the presentation of their film work with his celebrated 16mm looping system. He has over a dozen films in distribution with Lux that are regularly included in experimental film programmes and festivals both in the UK and in Europe. He has an extensive 16mm archive of discarded educational and information films from the 1940s, 1950s and 1960s, which formed the basis for the Kino Club, his platform for combining improvised film and music in an informal cabaret club setting, such as today's programme, with David Lester as host and projectionist. And now I take a back seat.
A backseat. Thanks for googling me there.
Well, no, it's all from your own website.
Yeah, I know.
David.
I think I wrote that many years ago.
You did.
It's very strange to hear someone else.
Well, it's
say
like an echo, isn't it? Sort of bouncing back to you.
Yeah. Well, I actually say that to myself as I look in the mirror every morning. That paragraph. So it's nice to hear someone else say it for a change.
It might be worth mentioning. I mentioned the Keynote Club.
Mm.
Is it worth mentioning where the Keynote Club first appeared?
Oh, yeah, I knew you'd try and get yourself back into the picture.
Well, excuse me.
But William English actually gave me my first big break.
Wow.
At the dining rooms. It was called Armchair Cinema.
Armchair Cinema, yeah.
Which is a combination of some of my own films, some other films, William's films, and some found films.
Yeah.
Stolen films. I have been called a thief, you know, William.
Have you?
Yes, by all these films I've been hoarding.
Is this a jackdaw or a magpie?
I think a little of both.
Yeah,
but probably the worst bits of both.
Hmm. We won't mention how long ago that was. It was too long ago.
No. Our beards might get tangled up in the confusion. Yeah, and you know what it's like with Velcro. It's just kind of hard.
Okay, so what do you have for us today, Dave?
Well,
I
think what I'm going to do is play you my optical sound show medley. This will take the form of a program. I started working on this for this show, thinking I'm just going to do another optical sound show.
Do I detect an American accent?
You might do. You might do.
Yeah.
Well, we're not talking politics today, really. We're not talking politics.
Where are you from?
I'm from Camberwell. Excuse me.
Via Wisconsin.
Yes, via Wisconsin, yes.
Okay.
I came over as a very young man and just kind of never went back. Yeah.
Okay.
So, and I'm still here.
Sure.
Fortunately or unfortunately.
Sorry, I've interrupted your flow now.
Yeah, I was talking about something. Yeah. I was talking about my thievery. Yes, my 16 mil thievery.
Yeah.
But I feel like I'm kind of recycling sound and image. You know, this planet is so full of sound and image. I think there's enough to go around like at least half a dozen times again, and no one would ever notice if we just used all the sounds and pictures we've already created and just kind of use them again in a slightly different context. So enough of that. So I'd like to play the medley here. I think that it's sort of like the optical sound show years ago that I did for Resonance. It's actually being podcast, I think, at the moment.
Is it worth mentioning the intro?
Oh, yes, the intro is actually the original intro, but with some new dynamic music in there. So I've changed my opening theme to something a little bit more uplifting, and I've got some new end music as well, but we'll talk about that, strange enough, at the end. where was I? I'm getting confused now.
Yes,
I've got to do everything here. Now, I have to actually work this laptop myself here.
Yeah.
And but it's hard to get the 16 mil film into the laptop. I haven't quite found the slot for that on this
Where's
one.
The projector, by the way?
Oh, it's under the table.
Okay.
But then I feed the film into the side of the laptop. There's about a 16 mil slot here.
Hmm.
And then the film goes through the laptop, comes out the other side, and then I wind it up on this...
Rewind handle.
On this rewind handle
here.
Sure.
Okay.
Anyhow. So,
okay.
Let me just get that.
Amazing technology, isn't it?
It's kind of like an analog laptop I've got here, really.
Yeah.
So anyhow, so let's do the medley, and then I'll waffle on a little bit more after that.
The film you are about to see is about power, a subject that is also our master, for without it we can only sit here in the darkness, powerless, isolated from a world that teems with power. Yet all we need is enough for a single projector light bulb, the merest fraction of those invisible forces that surround us. Life on Earth could not exist but for the sun. A gigantic nuclear cauldron which every second turns 4 million tons of hydrogen into energy and hurls it into the darkness of space. Only a tiny proportion of this immense output of energy falls on the Earth's surface. Its light and warmth fueling a never-ending system of growth and decay, constantly changing, forever remaining the same. Much of this Bantia's energy is dissipated over the Earth's surface, wild and uncontrolled. Some of it trapped by the intricate mechanisms of nature, providing a storehouse of minerals, metals, and chemicals scattered through the Earth's crust. And from all this, man produces power. Man, the engineer, making his own contribution to the world around him. His own power on Earth.
Have you ever wondered what the world was like before there were any people on it? Before there were birds in the air, or fishes in the sea, or a blade of grass on the ground? Let us take a journey back into time, back thousands of millions of years. And this is how it might have looked. For it was once only a fiery ball of rock, without continents, oceans, or air, or living things of any kind. But then the surface began to cool and shrink, and from the interior, which has remained flaming hot even to this day, hot steam and gases were squeezed out to form the Earth's primeval atmosphere. An atmosphere so thick, the sun's rays couldn't break through, and only lightning flashes pierced the darkness. The clouds were overladen with moisture, but if any rain fell, the crust would only boil it back again as steam. But at last, the crust cooled below the boiling point, and the rains began in earnest. How long it rained, no one knows.
Once upon a time, there was a tree. In time, it withered and fell away. Long before our time, it became something else.
1798 en Roma, buongiorno.
Nothing ever dies in our world. It only becomes. Nothing ever disappears. It only evolves. Gas is everywhere. You can't imagine where it comes from. Or rather, you have to imagine. You can't imagine how it...
Oh dear. What happened there? What, ran out of gas, I suppose. Anyhow, yes. Yeah, so yeah, that's a little optical sound medley there that is slowly taking shape.
It's quite reassuring that it things evolve. We don't. Nothing actually dies. Not even that.
Yeah.
Film.
Not even that film. Not even that film. Yeah. Doesn't have vinegar syndrome yet. And the clips were from different films called opening with Power on Earth. And looking at my notes, just trying to find the other titles: A Journey Through Time, and another one called the last one, and it was earlier on, Imagine Gas. So if you can imagine a bit of gas there. And then the rock opera in the middle there was a mystery film loaned to me by my friend Sabella Perry. And I'm going to have to get back in touch with her and find out what the title of that film was, because I've had that in the files for ages, and I'll have to do a little bit of research so I can get back to you. So, but what we're going to do now, we're going to play a little game. We're going to start on the Derek Taylor archives. And William, I'd like you to pick a number between 1 and, 13, 14?
Between 1 and 4. You told me it was between 1 and 10.
Well, we've increased
our... I'm all prepared. I'm completely thrown now by this.
Okay, well, just pick a number.
7.
Okay.
You see gulls and birds.
There you go. So, and
did I win?
Yeah, you win the chance to choose another number.
7.
No, you just played 7.
Oh, sorry. 10?
10. Okay. So, here we go. Yeah, the bird is on the wing. There are lots of birds in the archives of Derek Taylor's suitcase. Which we've kind of just, I think now we've just decided to call them the suitcase tape, Derek Taylor.
Tell us again a bit more about Derek Taylor.
Derek Taylor was he worked for Better Sound, and then I met Derek years ago. He would do, you would take your quarter inch tape or whatever you had, or and he would transfer it to 60 mil mag. Hmm.
For those who don't know what you're talking
about. Oh, yeah. A lot of people probably do. I'm making assumptions here.
Yes.
Basically, for film people, you would have to get your sound on the film somehow. So you would record it separately, and then you had to put it on a 16 mil sound recording tape to play along with your 16 mil film. It was, two separate things in those days.
Hmm.
And Derek was a master of sound transfers. And I think his company is called Photosonic. I'll check my invoice. And he would transfer your film from whatever recorded. Generally, it was quarter-inch tape you recorded on then. I think that was the only thing we had to put stuff on. No USB sticks then. And then you would either put do an optical track with that recording, or you would do a magnetic stripe, which is like a strip of magnetic tape that ran down parallel with your film track. I'm getting too technical here, though.
But
basically, and actually, it's quite funny. The first time I met Derek, they told me to go into this room, and I opened the door, and it was two doors connected to each other. So if you swung one door, there were two. I actually got stuck between the two doors because it was a soundproofing recording room, and I managed to wedge myself in between the two doors that were some serially connected.
Like sort of when you go into a bank almost.
yeah, but they were both anyhow. And so it's a bit of a comic kind of thing. So, and then he retired there. He worked out of his house in Woodford, and I.
Was this always an amateur sort of outfit, or was he?
Professional. They were on
the film industry.
No, they were on film. Were they a studio on Endell Street? And they could have been. Might have been even above or next door to Delane Lee.
Right.
So yeah, he was known in the industry. And
right.
But he seemed to be doing a lot of independent films. I was at the ICA the other week, and his name came up on the screen for doing this a film. During the London Short Film Festival, we're screening some archives.
So how did you acquire this collection?
Well, I was in touch with Derek over I lost touch with him, and then I my friend Oliver Bancroft, who was working on Derek, donated his sound transfer unit when he properly retired for like the third time to what was then South Thames College, and we were tinkering with it, Oliver and I. And I said I remembered Derek's number, which I reeled off to him. And Oliver, bless him, dialed the number.
Right.
And Derek answered. So what began, again, was an acquaintance after not having spoken to him for like at least 10 years. Oh. And that was about five, six, 7 years ago. So I would go and visit him to his house. And one day he was having a bit of a clear out, and he said, "See that suitcase over there? I'm taking it to the dump in case you want it. And I opened it up, and it's full of quarter-inch tapes.
Right.
So it's formed the basis for some of our recordings.
Most of which are film soundtracks? Or?
Well, I'm not sure where he... I think, no, it's mostly like background foley, lots of birds, lots of nature sounds, some traffic sounds.
Right.
Footsteps and things, and I've incorporated some of those sound effects into what we'll end the program with, a little radio play. I found it in another cardboard box, so it's a stolen radio play that I've, from 1978, and I put some extra added foley in behind some of the rehearsals of this play, which I'll talk a little bit more about. But something I'd like to play you now is a piece by Lucy Harris using some of Derek's soundtracks, and to do a short piece called Constructed Landscape, Constructed Landscapes, 1-2.
That's the BFX atmosphere, just very quiet background, bird noise, insect noise in the bush.
Thank you. 1 minute. Cut.
Did we get that?
We got that.
Oh.
Okay. I don't know. I thought it was a mistake. But no, it's spot the deliberate mistake.
Okay, so you did hear the... Okay, good.
Just briefly, I just want to remind people, this is Wavelength on Resonance 104.4 FM, and today's guest is David Lester.
Yeah, just for those of you who just tuned in, we didn't just leave the back door open and wander off or drop the microphone in the field out behind the radio station here. That was Constructed Landscapes by Lucy Harris.
That's a familiar name to me, Lucy Harris.
Yeah, she is fairly
good. Didn't she edit that film, Heated Gloves?
Yes, she did, actually. Wasn't the film by William English?
Yes. But she's a noted filmmaker in her own right, of course.
Yes, she is.
And something happening at is it Tintype?
Yeah, Tintype Gallery. There's a group show of postcard art opening this Wednesday at Tintype Gallery, and Lucy is
next Wednesday.
Next Wednesday. Yeah. Yes. Because what day is it today?
This is the Friday.
Yeah.
The 1st of March.
Yeah, so it's next Wednesday.
Okay.
Not like, it can't be last Wednesday. Our journey through time doesn't take us backwards.
No.
So next Wednesday is the opening, and the show is up for a while, and Lucy has a 16mm film with some nature noises in it.
Ah.
Sound on that film is a film Model Village, and... Sabella Perry did the sound for that film as well, using some...
So this is the Tintype Galleries, Essex Road?
Essex Road. Don't ask me
Islington.
What number. Just
I think it's on the corner of Cross Street.
Yes. Thank God, you know your geography. It's like almost next door to Get Stuffed, I think, is the shop, the stuffed animal shop.
Okay.
That's the landmark there.
Yeah.
And across the street from Steve Hatt.
Okay, the fish shop.
Those of you who know that area.
Yeah.
So buy some fish and come to the opening.
Does the gallery mostly concentrate on analog material or not?
They've had some film projection there. I believe another filmmaker you might know, Nikki Hamlin, showed some film there. So they're not averse to a bit of analog trickery.
I thought analog was the main thrust of the gallery almost. I didn't know. Perhaps I'm wrong there. It's just a gallery. They'll show all sorts of things.
Yeah,
okay.
They had a film. They back projected some films on the window was it the last show, perhaps, or the last but one, of films of the Essex Road area,
right.
Done by a variety of artists. So you'd actually watch the pieces while standing in the street.
Yeah. Okay.
So just obviously watching for oncoming traffic so you don't get pulled over by the 73 bus, which I almost did, actually.
Right.
I got so get involved in it.
Because you were so taken with the film, you just sort of kept stepping backwards.
Yes, exactly. Time to pick a number, William.
One.
One? Oh, my God. I don't know if I can find one.
No, it's completely...
Oh, yeah, here it is. Okay.
Effects track of birds twittering in trees.
Was that Derek's voice?
You're interrupting the track, William.
I know.
No, it's not. They were various people working on productions with him that would introduce. They're just audibly marking the track.
Okay.
Thank you. I think what you said earlier is a valid question. Just to be clear, Derek didn't actually record these. He probably transferred them or edited them in to a sound mix or something for various people working on films. But he then seemed to keep all the or dupe all these clips, and he did an amazing cross-reference handwritten catalog. Which in it very detailed, which is an artwork in itself, describing all the clips and the tracks and you know how almost the attitude of the bird in the recording. And I'm not sure exactly how many. We're only partway through digitizing the collection, and I kind of like to. I don't know. I might put it online, make it available for other people to listen to, perhaps even use. Because it's just a good to not keep a lid on the suitcase and make it available. Well, as I say, I don't know the origin of any of these. Maybe you might hear that bird in some film made in 1983 or something. Who knows? But what I'd like to move into now is my found radio play. In another cardboard box, I found a rehearsals to a play in 1978. It's dated, and the main bulk of the play is The Happy Prince, Oscar Wilde's, people rehearsing that play. There's a variety of music in the tapes. The tapes are all unmarked, so I scrolled through and took some of my favorite bits out of them and then sort of made a surreal, I suppose, stolen radio play in that and added some of Derek's sounds, the sounds from the suitcase sounds in the background in the mix, and this play does it's about 15 minutes long, so settle back with a cup of tea.
Might I ask, is it called The Happy Prince with a Z?
Oh, I see where you're going with that. Yes, very clever use of language. There is a prince. Z projector, P-R-I-N-Z projector. Yeah, so why don't we call this play The Happy Prince?
Is it a Super 8 projector?
Yes, it is, actually. Yeah.
I thought that was the whole drift of this piece.
Well, this is, you got film bobbins on the mind, really. So let me see if I can find this in my thing here. I think here it is.
I am the Happy Prince. When I was alive and had a human heart, answered the statue, I did not know what tears were, for I lived in the palace of Sans Souci.
Take two.
I am the Happy Prince. When I was alive and had a human heart, answered the statue, I did not know what tears were, for I lived in the palace of Sans Souci, where sorrow is not allowed to enter. In the daytime I played with my companions in the garden, and in the evening I led the dance in the great hall. Round the garden ran a very lofty wall, but I never cared to ask what lay beyond it. Everything about me was so beautiful. My courtiers called me the Happy Prince, and happy indeed I was, if pleasure be happiness. I am the Happy Prince.
And here's dear Zov. It's, I think, on the same day as, and I forget which it is, but it's either Edmund Campion or John Gerard, one of the missionary priests. This was done in the old film storage room, as I remember, so that we could get the echo.
If our religion do make us traitors, we are worthy to be condemned. But otherwise we are and have been true subjects, as ever the Queen had.
Yeah, no, it wasn't Alfred, it was Trevor. Mm.
If our religion do make us traitors, we are worthy to be condemned. But otherwise we are and have been true subjects, as ever the Queen had.
One more, if you would, please. Now I think we're there.
If our religion do make us traitors...
Sorry, David, calm.
Done.
I'll tell you what.
If our religion do make us traitors, we are worthy to be condemned. But otherwise we are and have been true subjects, as ever the Queen had.
Retake of page 15.
Dear little swallow, said the prince, you tell me of marvellous things, but more marvellous than anything is the suffering of men and women. There is no mystery so great as misery. Fly over my city, little swallow, and tell me what you see there.
Taken again with hand, take the land, and tell me. Dear little
Dear little swallow, said the prince, you tell me of marvellous things, but more marvellous than anything is the suffering of men and of women. There is no mystery so great as misery. Fly over my city, little swallow, and tell me what you see there. Swallow, swallow, little swallow, said the prince, do as I command you.
And then about a week or so later, Ted and Christina Savage were here also on the English comparability test for 1979. This was the one about the old tramp who turned out to be a fairy who granted Christina three wishes.
Quite near where I live is a forest, and every day I can, I go for a walk there. I don't manage to every day because sometimes when it's been raining, it gets dreadfully muddy over there, and all the cleaning up you have to do when you get back takes all the enjoyment out of it. But almost every season of the year, it's super over there. And there's always something different and interesting to see, when it's not too wet, as I say. Well, I was out walking in the forest about, just over a fortnight ago it was, and as I came by the pond, I saw what looked like somebody paddling. And when I got closer, I saw it was an old man, a tramp he looked like, and he was stuck in the mud, about 2 paces in from the bank.
Oi!
You know that old story about the three wishes? I'm sure you must have heard it sometime or another. You know that old story about the three...
Oh, yeah.
Count you get three, your own pencil
count,
start.
Count 3 men, will it?
You know that old story about the three wishes? I'm sure you must have heard it sometime or another. A peasant or someone helps...
Early next morning, the mayor was walking in the square below in the company of the town councillors.
A fag's walking track.
Take two.
Early the next morning, the mayor was walking in the square below in company with the town councillors.
Sorry, I've got to stop you again because you started a little too early, not giving me enough time for the edit.
I see what you mean now.
Now, pull!
Exterior atmosphere in Epping Forest.
That's not what I call a sensible question.
Well, I'm sorry.
I never did think this was the best time of the year for sitting in a pond.
Here, give me your hand. You can reach me now.
Don't stretch over too far. I mean, we don't want to get wet, do we? How shabby indeed,
cried the town councillors, who always agreed with the mayor, and they went up to look at it.
He was very much admired indeed. He is as beautiful as a weathercock, remarked one of the town councillors, who wished to gain a reputation for having artistic tastes. Only not quite so useful, he added, fearing lest people should think him unpractical, which he really would not.
I am glad there is someone in the world who is quite happy, muttered a disappointed man as he gazed at the wonderful statue.
It is more precious than emeralds. We have bread now, they cried. We have bread now, they cried. They have bread now. We have bread now, they cried.
Anybody listening? Stop the tape now while you can. If you don't stop listening, something awful will happen to you. I've tried to rub it out, but it won't go. It keeps playing. For pity's sake, turn off the machine while you still have the chance. Otherwise, you will have a load of trouble, and I don't know what will happen to you.
It is important, though, that the alternative should never be allowed to stand mobile. Simple form through this is to defend any mastication.
Oh, I don't know. That's funny, they're asleep again. What I need is a fresh approach. I know! Closed circuit television!
Judgment to be torn in only a fruitful triumphant. It is important, though, that the alternative should never be allowed to stand mobile.
And the moral is, a new cooker doesn't help a lousy cook. So don't let anyone try to suggest to you that television is a way of improving teaching performance. It's nothing of the sort. However, given some training and experience, there's no reason why a successful teacher shouldn't be able to use television successfully. Although a new set of skills do have to be acquired, a set of skills that very few have a chance to acquire during teacher training. Finally, what to wear.
Well, there are good electronic reasons for trying to avoid black and white. Otherwise, it's a matter of not wearing things that will distract the attention. And by now, you're probably thinking, is it worth it? Which is a perfectly proper question, the answer to which is that you must be able to justify the expense and complexity involved in the use of television in terms of the contribution that it can make to your curriculum needs.
The final source, you remember, is always the viewer, who has only seven such.
I go, who let those chickens in here?
And that was, of course, The Happy Prince by Oscar Wilde.
The Happy Prince.
Prince.
Yes, some Oscar Wilde, some other stuff in there. If anybody has information on that play, please do get in touch. but just don't give him my address. I'd sort of like to dedicate that to Derek Taylor, memory of Derek. But he would probably be quite upset at all the hum on those bad cables I was using and the background hum on that tape. But no doubt he would be able to mix that out almost indelibly. It was a little bit of a potpourri of stuff there, obviously with some Derek's Foley stuff put in the background. And I think it's time to choose another number quickly before we play our outro music.
Uh-huh.
Pick another number.
12.
12, okay. A nice little short one, but I should explain those sounds are out of Lucy Harris's little sculpture box. Is called Flight Case, and it's a little, very small pigeon box you open up. Once you open the box up, you are treated with one of those noises at random while studying a selection of slides of birds and other such winged creatures. So a very clever little box. So you close the lid, open the box up again, and you get another little soundbite.
Well, you've been listening to Wavelength on Resonance 104.4 FM with today's guest, David Lester, the distinguished filmmaker and archivist. Magician of the 16mm projection world. You are always called upon, aren't you, David, to install 16mm installations wherever they happen to be.
Yes, morning, noon, and night, weekends. There's no rest for the projectionist.
No, exactly. Days, yeah. But you are known as the
film guy.
The film guy, indeed.
Yeah, the film guy.
Yeah. Your loops are in galleries throughout the country.
Yeah, throughout the world, actually. In fact, there's a show opening in New York at a Grimm Gallery this next week. Rosalind Nashibi. Doing a show there, showing her a rather wonderful piece, Prisoner, which is two linked 16mm projectors running in tandem. One film going through two machines. How's that for an effect?
And have you got your own film running anywhere?
No. It's just been refused by a nameless film festival, but we will not go into that. So.
I was refused by them too. You're in good company.
All right.
David.
Well, we can have the Salon de Refuse. But I've actually a little present for you. I've made some new end music for you that we could maybe go out with.
Okay.
So yeah. I think this could be the new Wavelength theme tune. You did have a competition for a new.
I did many years ago.
So this is the new intro and the new outro music that I stole from a film. But here you go. Anyhow, thanks for listening.
Yeah, thank you.
You are now listening to Resonance.
This program has been brought to you by Resonance 104.4 FM. If you liked what you heard and want to support our work, please make a donation at fundraiser.resonance.fm.